son of a bitch.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of No Time to Bleed. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host this week, Brad.
What's up?
And Demetrius.
Hey.
All right, guys. We're back. It's been a long time. We've been off. This month, we have promised you two episodes of No Time to Bleed. This is the first. The next one is coming next week. So prepare to enjoy the insanity that are these next two episodes. This episode, if you are watching on video, it is very obvious because it's on the big TV there. But this episode is the 1986 film Cobra, starring Sylvester Stallone, which this movie is terrible, I would like to say off the top. However, I love this movie because it is ridiculous. Brad, you and I are the only ones who had seen this previously. Demetrius, yes. You just watched this for the first time.
Yesterday, yes, for the first time. And I actually had my friend was over with me, and she and I were like,
what's wrong with these people?
that's not right. That doesn't make sense.
It is interesting watching this film now. In today's lens.
Yeah.
For sure.
I am a very different person than I was in 1986.
Yes.
1986, I was like, yeah. Now I'm like, no. these are terrible.
It's terrible
rules.
It's awful.
Zombie squad?
Like, please don't have the police do this. Like, this is as Black Lives do in fact matter, guys. Like, for the love of God, this movie is not cool. No, but I love this movie. It is starring Sylvester Stallone, screenplay written by Sylvester Stallone, and I will give a very interesting background about him writing this movie. But before we start, we do what we always do, which is give our out of five score. Obviously, this is No Time to Bleed, so the scores don't mean anything.
No, they certainly don't.
Brad, your thoughts on this?
This is a really interesting movie because it's odd for an actor at this time that Stallone had done four Rocky films. He had done two Rambo movies to this point. Like, he was like a super A-list action hero guy. Yeah. And this is, for all intents and purposes, like a B movie.
No,
like, it's bizarre that he's in this film, wrote this film, tried to direct this film,
This is a passion project for him, actually.
Pretty much, yeah.
Just wait, we'll
get to the whole thing. It's a weird performance from him too, because he comically undersells this like very unique like action hero character, like a guy that actually could have some interesting quirks, especially compared to like other action contemporaries at the time. But he plays the role so like undersold, he's like Rocky Balboa from Rocky One. If he was like this like ridiculous
cop,
basically, like that's kind of the performance that you get from Stallone in this film.
Which I have to say, I would have kind of preferred it to be more over the top.
I don't, well, it would have fit the movie a little bit more.
Yeah,
because everything else around him is over the top. Like every other cop in the film is like a caricature of like a stereotype cop.
Yep.
You have the fucking villain in the film. I can't decide if Brian Thompson is a brilliant actor, or the worst actor ever.
I would go with brilliant. Brilliant. Yep. You know, the easy choice for me.
Yep.
Easy choice. I loved him in this
movie. Especially that whole last scene with him, his monologue, basically.
I have it clipped out. So
excellent. Oh. Yeah. So so what do I score? You need a score for this?
Yeah, you need a score.
I give it 50. Murder clan axe clanging people out of five, basically.
That's fair. That's a fair score. I think you're underselling it.
There you go.
Yeah. Demetrius, as a first time watcher of Cobra, your thoughts and score.
My thoughts are that it was a movie that was completely out of the realm of sense and common sense. So many different things happened that could have been different if he had just thought a little bit further into it. I don't know. I give this 3 plot holes out of 7.
That's fair.
There's a legitimate reason why those plot holes exist, by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Yeah. So, and I will explain that almost right now.
Yeah.
So my score for this movie is 700 ridiculous meal plans that you give to your friends and victims out of 5, because he was obsessed with telling people how to eat in this movie, which made no sense. Have an apple, you're using too much ketchup, you're having too much sugar.
I figured that would have spoken to you in a positive manner.
No, I liked it. I was like, this guy's very healthy. Like, but the reason why this movie is batshit crazy for a number of reasons is, one, Sylvester Stallone wrote the screenplay. That's true. However, do you know the movie Fair Game, the 1995 movie?
Yeah.
Cindy Crawford and
yeah.
and one of the Baldwin brothers. Stephen Baldwin.
Stephen Baldwin. Yeah. So this movie was based loosely off of the book Fair Game, right?
Right. Okay, I saw that.
Right. But obviously, Fair Game was eventually made into a movie under the same title. However, it got massive rewrites when Stallone came on to massively rewrite it. And he wrote this. He rewrote it. This was supposed to be Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah. So originally, Beverly Hills Cop, in Stallone's eyes, was not supposed to be comedic. It was supposed to be a serious cop film. And so Cobra is technically Beverly Hills Cop before he left that project and they brought on Eddie Murphy to make it comedic and to reduce the budget and make it into the massive hit it was.
Where in this would have been Axel Foley?
He is Axel Foley. Yes. Axel Foley, axe murdering, cult, whatever. It's all the same. Yeah. So, yeah. Your brain is blown because it makes no fucking sense. How the hell they came up with
Beverly Hills Cop? They completely rewrote it.
But originally, Beverly Hills Cop was a Stallone project
that he wanted to do all this crazy shit with, and the studio was like, "Yeah, we spend that kind of money on this film," so he left it voluntarily. They completely scrapped it. They reimagined it from the ground up to be a comedy with Eddie Murphy, and then he kept this in his back pocket as like a passion project that he can now make after all, you know, the success of the Rocky films and the Rambo movies.
So when did Beverly Hills Cop come out?
2 years before this.
Really?
Yeah, he had this for a couple of years.
Yep.
But then once Rambo 1 and 2 and once 4 Rocky movies had come out, he had the juice to be able to do basically whatever he wanted.
I just love watching Demetrius face like, what? No, that's true.
Well, and the other thing, Demetrius, that you mentioned is, like, you mentioned all the plot holes in the movie. The movie was originally, like, 2 hours long and actually developed, like, the characters a little bit more and also was a lot more violent. They had, like, the original cut was X-rated, so they had to cut it down tremendously. And then
X-rated for violence.
Yes. Yeah, X-rated for violence. Yeah, there's a lot more graphic stuff that they left on the floor.
So they went beyond NC-17.
Yes.
Yeah, like the original RoboCop cut is an X, and they had to cut it down to get it in theaters.
Wow.
And then to further exacerbate, because Top Gun was crushing the box office in 1986 when this movie came out, they went with the approach, we'll cut the movie down to 90 minutes so that we get more screenings because we don't think it's going to be able to stand up toe-to-toe against Top Guns, which is why you have this disjointed film that feels like it's over in 2 seconds with no plot development whatsoever.
But then, like, 3 musical interludes.
Yes.
Fuck.
I mean, it's a Stallone movie. There's going to be musical montages.
I can get with the montage. I can get with the montage if it was, like, doing something, but
driving in a car slowly or fast after your friend died, you know, in a boxing match. I mean, whatever. Like, it's fine. Because that's what Stallone does. I will say this. The music in this movie, I don't know, and I have not looked it up. I don't know if the music is done by the same guy who did Rocky IV's music. Mm-hmm. But if you told me it was, I would 100% believe you. Because the music at the end of the movie, after all of the murder that happens, it is the weirdest upbeat music. Yeah. It's like, hey, everybody, everything's fine. I'm like, there's 50 bodies back there, guys. He killed a lot of people.
But see, the thing is, there was the same song was playing every single time he came home, too. Did you notice that?
It was.
And it was like, coming home, working hard. Yeah. I was like, what? There's nothing better than music that describes what is happening in the movie.
Narrates the scene.
Wow. And so the same guy did not do the Rocky movies.
Bill Conti did all the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
And he definitely did not score this film.
Sure. No, he did not. But the guy who did scored Airwolf from 1984 to 1986. So, you know what? That's fine. I love that show. It's so good. That was on Netflix for a while. I was like, I need to rewatch Airwolf. And then my brain was like, no, you don't. Yeah. What's wrong with you? Absolutely not. So, all right. The film opens with like madness, right? Which is... Yeah, it's a fucking cult of lunatics. And it's so funny because Demetrius messaged me. He's like, why? What was the point of that? I'm like, they're crazy. There's no point. Yeah. They're just crazy.
Well, at least,
I'm saying there's no religion that we know about.
We want to murder people. That's the only thing.
No,
we
they
do.
Believe in killing the weak so that only the strong survive with axes sharp. Yeah.
So split.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But like I said, in early in the movie, I didn't notice this, but when they do that whole axe clanking again, there's legitimately dudes just wear like
suits,
mid-40s white guys in suits that are also cling 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 cling.
They're the alt right. They're the alt right.
Pretty much.
They're like, Richard Spencer's awesome. Like, wait, what? Yeah, it's really weird. But the movie, even before you get to the weird axe wielding night slasher gang, I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth.
Night slasher.
You get a voiceover from Stallone giving statistics about how many murders and rapes there are a year. And he's like, 200 rapes a year, 400 murders, I am the law. You're like, wait, what? Like, what's going on? This, to me, feels like the precursor to Judge Dredd. Like, it really does. And then you watch the terrible Judge Dredd movie he was in, and you're like, that all makes sense. Like, I feel like he was like, I want Space Cobra. And they were like, all right, Space Cobra, that's fine. Or Future Cobra, like, fuck it.
No, Future Cobra is... Demolition Man.
Yeah, you
it's
know
the
what?
Same fucking character.
You know what?
God it, damn it! In three movies, he's done the same character.
You know what? I'll allow it. You know what? This movie, this is in the John Spartan universe.
There you go.
That makes all the sense. But you know he what? Just, this movie changes it.
He just keeps being reincarnated as a different person every time.
Shit.
Yes.
That same person keeps dying.
You know what? They've had frozen technology since the 80s.
And then, and then eventually he gets to the far future and he becomes Master Chief.
That's fine.
Yeah. Oh no, we've discussed that. That's a fan theory we discussed on Dense Pixels. That Master Chief's first name is John, and he's a Spartan. He is John Spartan. Halo Master Chief is the Demolition Man.
You know what?
No, because
you know what? If they take his mask off and it's fucking Sylvester Stallone, go for it.
As someone who read the Halo books, I can't allow that because yes, I read the books.
Wow.
Look, it is he's a child that was
how. Lonely are you?
Now I am.
I'm gonna read this Halo book.
I mean, it was high school. I mean, come on, it was 2001 when the books came out.
I thought it was like last month.
No.
Okay.
Anyways, no. But honestly, like they were genetically engineered children that were kidnapped. Right? Yeah. Okay. So no, can't do that. Can't do that.
Yeah, it's changing the lore. It's Sylvester Stallone's kid. That's fine. It's like Jango Fett and Boba Fett. It's just a clone.
I'll take that. It's fine. I'll accept that one.
So after we get the statistics of murder in 1986 and rapes, God, this movie, dude, like it rides right in that same world that RoboCop rides in. Not to say it's as good of a movie as RoboCop. It's not. But just that like extreme tough on violence. Like that's one of the things I like about this movie is that it's supposed to be this weird like story about like this idea of like cops going too far and like, is that right or not? But it doesn't really do that. It actually ends up glorifying that aspect. Like, this is very much in Ronald Reagan's, like, we have to be
tough. You saw his picture, didn't you? Remember?
In Inside
Out, he was like prominently displayed in
his office, just like stared right there.
Yeah. No, it's totally on purpose. It's totally on purpose. Like,
and it doesn't help. Like, of course, the biggest asshole in the movie is the one guy that's like,
reasonable.
You're taking it too far. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's the liberal cop. Like, hey, maybe we should murder people. They don't have any rights. Like, but they do. And even the criminals are like, yeah, the liberal judges will let us out. You're like, what the fuck, dude? Who
Why
wrote this?
Scheme?
Oh, right. Sylvester Stallone.
I can't wait till we get to that monologue at the end of the film.
It's amazing.
It's so amazing.
You gotta take me in.
God, yeah, I was like, no, I don't. Like, I would have just put on my gun and shot him in the head. Like, I don't. No one's here. Bam. All right. So after we get past the clanging of the axes, which is amazing, we get this weird guy who, like, this guy
I love how every criminal
Mexican
in this movie is easily the most conspicuous person in every room
Thank
that
you.
They walk into.
Thank you. It's like villain D bad guy. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ, don't trust that guy. He just walks into a grocery store and people are just like, the
Edward James Olmos' kid fell in hard times.
Yo, he looks, Jesus Christ, he does look like Edward James Olmos. Holy shit. Why he's like, I need to get to the Battlestar Galactica. So he walks into a grocery store and like one of the grocery workers is like, can I help you? Guy who looks like a villain? And he's like, He doesn't say anything, and he just pulls out a shotgun, and he doesn't shoot anyone. He just starts shooting produce and shooting carts, and everyone's like freaking out.
That's why Cobra was pissed, because he was destroying all the healthy food.
Yes, like, no, go to the sugar aisle.
No, because he said later on, blow it up. I don't care. I don't shop here.
Spoiler alert to the clip we have, because I love that scene. It's so fucking good. It's so good.
But see, how do shopping carts explode upwards and then down?
The same way the pickup trucks explode upwards when being shot with a submachine gun.
Man.
We'll get there.
Man! I was like, did that flip really because of that?
Every vehicle, no matter what it is in this movie, is explosive, basically.
But you know what the funny thing is? One of the big things about this movie was that it was critically panned. Shocking news. Okay. Really? I can't believe that. But critics hated this movie, and they literally, their biggest site on this movie was, it has too many genre tropes. Of course! That's what the whole movie's about. It's supposed to be. It's a silent, tough guy who is like, weirdly has a sensitive side, but then he says like cool lines, and he kills a lot of people.
Wait a minute.
That's it. That's question, all the movie is.
Question. The action genre, as far as we know it from 1986, started when? In the 70s?
Or yeah, I mean...
Dirty Harry, probably.
Yeah.
When was that?
Early 70s.
Yeah, Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Early 70s, and you're talking about Schwarzenegger coming on the scene, Stallone coming on the scene.
Charles Bronson.
The onset of the 80s. Yeah, think about this in the world of, like, Death Wish. Like...
Okay.
Like, right. It doesn't seem that crazy because Death Wish is
on. We wouldn't get the next evolution until next year, which is when Die Hard comes out.
Right, Predator, where so. Movies get smarter. And as much as I love Die Hard, let's all be honest, Die Hard is a ridiculous movie. Like, it is. Every movie that we do on this show is re-damn ridiculous. I love them, but they're ridiculous. RoboCop, utterly ridiculous. Yes. But I love it. So, you know, it's the same thing. And it is a weird evolution of like your Death Wish movies and stuff. Like, dude, white guys with a grudge just killed any and everybody for like 20 years. And everyone was like, yeah, that seems fine. That seems totally fine. I'm like, this seems offensive. But eventually people just were like, could you let brown people kill people? And they're like, nah, we got to stop all this violence now. How convenient. Like that terrible movie I just saw, American Assassin.
So the critics were tired of it by this time and basically said that the genre has run its course and therefore it's going to either evolve or dissipate.
Or die.
Right.
And then Bruce Willis came in and was like, hold my beer. It's like, nah, fuck that. No, it's not.
Sounds like superhero movie critics now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, these movies. By the way of the Westerns. I mean, or Westerns, right. I mean, these movies are nothing but the superhero movies of their time. Yeah. Schwarzenegger and Stallone were fucking superheroes, dude. Jack dudes who had no business on the police force at any point, and they're just like walking into grocery stores, murdering people indiscriminately. It's like, that's fine. You gonna put on a cape? Because you can. That's fine. So this crazy dude starts shooting up a grocery store, and then he eventually comes to this one guy in the grocery store. By the way, he has a shotgun, which is the worst weapon to have if you want to kill a lot of people.
Yes.
Like, it's not an efficient weapon for that. But he has a shotgun because the cocking of a shotgun is just badass in movies. Like, that's really all it is. And so he tells one guy, he's like, run, you're free. I was like, dude, you're not free. You're going to die. And the guy starts running down the aisle. And he just fucking cocks a shotgun and just shoots the guy in the back. By the way, if you're in front of a gun and you hear the cocking of a shotgun, zig and zag, my guy. Come on, man.
Or at least hit the deck.
Yeah, dude. I'd be like,
I'd be the most hard target motherfucker out there.
Yeah, dude. Like, this dude's like, I'm going to run straight down. Like, you're not Michael Johnson. You're not outrunning this bullet, dude.
Also, are these the longest grocery store aisles that he couldn't, like, cut through another lane, basically?
The thing is, like,
it's a Wegmans. He's fucked.
With that shotgun being the way that is cut, there's no way that their range would have got that guy. At least
no,
he would have
maybe peppered.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have been like it was as if he was that. Right next to where I am to Brad. Like boom, the guy's like, oh shit! Like yeah. No, dude, no. Come
you
on.
Know, I didn't expect Stallone to be driving a 1950s.
That was his car.
Oh, yeah?
I figured it was. Yeah, that car is stuff. Fucking awesome. By the way, it is bad.
I was expecting him to be on a bike. Like seriously. Like when I was thinking like Cobra, like he's gonna ride in on a bike.
Yeah, no, I mean that makes sense. But like it's funny because in this movie they use motorcycles as like that's what villains ride.
Yeah.
Except for at the end, then he's like,
I also love how when the guy gets shot, like the lieutenant's outside, and he's like, he doesn't say, call Cobra, call Cobra Eddie, call the Cobra.
Again, I said this offline, and I'm completely serious. I need all of the people of TMP Studios to refer to me as the J from now on. Just because. And I'm also going to have a gun with a Cobra on it. Or with a J on it.
Your face with the,
jazz hands. So they call, he makes a ridiculous line. He says, call the Cobra. And apparently, Cobra lives arguably 3 minutes away. He comes
not only 3 minutes away from this grocery store, 3 minutes away from every crime scene in the movie. He is centrally, this movie is actually, and later on it becomes even more so, this movie is a video game. This is
he
the Grand Theft Auto before its time, basically.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm fine with that. So he fast travels to the crime scene, and he gets there, and it was super weird because he shows up. He's got a car, by the way, that says Awesome 50 on it, right? The license plate. And I'm like, sure, that's fine. And so once he gets there, they're like, oh, you know, they don't even give him the lay of the land. They're like, get him. And he just walks in. He's got on the coolest sunglasses that were ever made in 1986. They are completely reflective. You can't see his soul behind those fucking sweet glasses.
Is Cobra our first emo action hero? And arguably our last emo action hero.
Yes. Yes.
No, because you still got Neo.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
You still got Neo. And then the Crow.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Sorry, Jack. No. He sucks. So Cobra makes his way into the grocery store. Now, because it's the 1980s and because this movie is incredibly violent and dark and fucked up, the grocery store, when the guy walked in initially and started shooting up the place, totally well lit.
Yeah.
Cobra walks in, no lights on. Why? 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 Did the guy go around and be like, click, click?
I mean, I've seen The Negotiator. I know that one of the police playbooks in a hostage situation is to cut the power.
Cut the power.
So maybe they just cut the power off.
But some of the lights are still on.
There's emergency lighting. You can't cut all the power.
And then the police still try to get as many hostages out as possible. This motherfucker walks in and walks by one and says, stay right there.
Right. I was like, bitch, run. You're right by the door. Why would you go? Why were you even standing there? You're literally right by the automatic sliding doors. Just walk out.
He went to the back.
Yeah.
The guy with a couple other folks. He's like,
I'd be like, sorry about your luck. Gotta go. I would have slid my ass right out of that automatic open the door. Get out of here. Like, that shit was funny to me. After watching it the second time, I was like, but you're right by the exit.
I also love the in this scene, you get the first bit of it, the overt product placement in the movie. That's so blatantly obvious. I mean, it's an 80s thing.
What'd I miss?
Oh, there's him, Pepsi advertising.
Him drinking
everywhere.
A Coors.
Oh yeah.
A warm Coors, no less.
Look, Coors is already bad enough. For God's sake, put it on ice.
Like there are the at least Pepsi, like because there's the Pepsi machine that he's standing right next to when he comes in the place. There's the Pepsi giant neon sign that literally sits right outside of his apartment.
Yes,
as well. So
I can't believe Pepsi paid good fucking money to be in this movie. That's crazy to me. But so he eventually makes it over to this bad guy who's got hostages, and he's supposed to he's hiding, but he's supposed to be this is like the stealth level, right? He's supposed to be like sliding his way up there, but
slithering, you could even say.
Nailed it! God damn it! Fuck you, Brad. So he eventually makes it near the guy, but then he just lobs things at him to let him know he's there for some fucking reason, which makes no sense whatsoever. And the guy starts firing his shotgun, and then we get a scene where Stallone makes it to another side. And so we have this clip because, to me, this is the pinnacle of the movie in the first literal 5 minutes of this film. Is this is where, look, this is why this movie is this is why this movie is so great, because Judge Dredd, the second Judge Dredd that was actually good, they copied this moment, and it's fucking awesome for a reason. So we have that clip, and we'll come right back.
Hey, dirtbag. You're a lousy shot. I don't like lousy shots. You wasted a kid for nothing. Now I think it's time to waste you.
Thank you. here. I'll kill her. I'll blow this whole place up.
Go ahead. I don't shot her. Hey, just relax, amigo. You want to talk? We'll talk. I'm a sucker for good conversation.
I don't want to talk to you. Now, you bring in the television cameras in here now. Come on, bring it in.
Can't do that.
Why?
I don't deal with psychos. I put them away.
I ain't no psycho, man. I'm a hero. You're looking at a fucking hunter. I'm a hero of the new world.
Your disease, and I'm the cure.
Die!
Hey! Drop it!
Like, honestly, do you realize how hard you have to throw a knife to for it to pierce not only someone's skin, but their fucking, like, sternum for it to be going, like
through their chest plate?
I mean, that's like some superpower beatdown type shit.
again, they're superheroes in this movie. And
he did it underhanded.
But, like, okay, one, yeah, you're not throwing a knife into a guy's chest that fucking easily, right? Like, that's amazing. Two, when he shoots him, he holds his arm to fire. That is not how you hold a gun.
That is called the Weaver style.
Is it? Is that yes, a real thing?
It's
okay,
a real thing.
All right, I'll take it back.
No, my personal favorite part of that is how he, like, after he knifes the guy, he tells the guy, drop it, and then literally 3 milliseconds after finishing that sentence, he unloads it.
Right.
Drop it. Huh? Bam, bam, bam. Like, oh! I didn't have a time to think about it because I have a knife in my stomach.
Let me amend that. As far as holding your wrist, that is something that was taught back in the 70s and 80s or whatever, but it's since has been...
It's under
here where... People blade themselves so that they can brace themselves for the recoil. But then they try not to tell you to do that. But if you're comfortable doing that, then go ahead and do so. But the point of the matter is they're trying to make themselves the smallest target possible.
Oh, I see.
So
that makes sense.
So instead of being straight on here where you have your shoulders here, you blade yourself here.
Oh,
and then try to be a narrow target for somebody. So I saw it. I was like, but it's the 80s. What the fuck?
All right, that's fair. I still think it's utterly ridiculous that there was steam coming behind him. He still has on sunglasses in a dark grocery store, but he's a dead-on shot. He fucking nails this guy three right across the chest, like boom, boom, boom. And the guy's like, oh shit.
I mean, they would pay that off later because, you know, at the firing range, he literally just shot the same spot in the target dummy every single time.
With glasses on. And it's dark as shit in there. All right. And I'm trying to tell you, it's hard to see within a fucking range sometimes, you know?
For regular people, it is. Not when you have X-ray vision, because that's what he has. Clearly, he is a superhero. Also, in that scene, if you notice, after he murder death kills this guy because that's who he is, John Spartan. After he kills this guy, he twirls the gun, puts it in his waistband, and the camera zooms in to show that the handle of the gun has an actual cobra on it, because of course it does. That to me, I was just like, that should win an Oscar. Like, I was like, that was amazing. And it's a super genre trope, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it, and I was fine with it. Thank you, Marion Cobretti. Oops. Sorry. Ooh. Did I give away his secret name? So yeah, he kills that guy. And so he goes out afterwards. He goes out and they're just like, yeah, everything's great. And this is where you get like the liberal, the liberal journalist is like, was it really necessary to kill this guy? And, Cobra's like, fuck off. Like, I'm not responding to this. And the guy's like, did you have to use unnecessary force? And he grabs who I assume is Keith Olbermann. He's like, listen, Keith Olbermann, like you liberal, like, look at this dead kid. The person who killed him deserve rights. And they're all like, yeah, that's right. And I'm like, but no, that guy does still deserve rights because that's what America's about.
I mean,
I don't have a problem with you murdering him, but like, okay.
In the grocery store, in the intercom, he's literally like, you waste a kid for no reason. I think it's time to waste you. I'm like, that's not how this works.
Yeah. Like, I think it's time to allow you due process under the under the law. Like, yeah, that
and like I said, when the reporter's like, "Oh, so you're judge, jury, and executioner?" Like, I need him to say, like, "I am the law."
Yeah, like I'm telling you, this is just a precursor for Dredd. Like, that's all this movie is. So then Cobra drives home. He fast travels to his house, and he's a dick because there are a couple of Mexican stereotypes because it's the 80s, and of course there are. And they're sitting in their car. They're not bothering anyone. They're literally not breaking any laws.
But they're in his parking space. And by parking space, I mean space on the street where he likes to park.
That's it.
That he has no
ownership whatsoever.
No. So he decides, he's just like, he beeps the car horn. Again, very impatient man. Doesn't allow them to move. Just hits their car with his car, which I wouldn't have done because I'd be like, but that's ruining my car. Fuck that. he just bumps their car out of the way into the parking space, and he just pulls in. And that's just acceptable. He just did, like, he just hit someone's car. He's a cop, by the way. Like, yeah. I can't reiterate that enough. He breaks many laws. So he hits the guy's car. The guy gets out, and he's like, hey, I say, that's not fucking cool. And he's like, look, he grabs the guy's cigarette out of his mouth and's like, it's bad for your health. And you think he's talking about the cigarette, and he's like, no, me. And it was like, that's a weird way to say that. Like, okay. And so he just smashes that guy. Oh, it's not a cigarette. It's a joint. So I guess they were breaking the law. And so he throws the joint down, and then he grabs the guy by his wife beater and just rips it down, which is a level of disrespect I cannot stress. I would have been like, dude, what the fuck, dude? It's my only shirt. Like, come on, man. And because they're like skinny vatos, they don't do shit. He just like kicks us up.
They did kick his car, so like, yeah.
Yeah, after he walked away.
That's right.
Yeah. And then Sylvester Stallone goes back to his apartment. And he's wearing like, I just want to point out, weirdly tight jeans. Like,
That's where the emo thing came from. Because like I said, this is skinny jeans before skinny jeans were a thing.
Yeah. He's like, he's wearing like
shirt.
Yeah, like this dude is like, look, he's wearing cowboy boots, like tight boot cut jeans, and he's a man's man. Okay, sure. By the way, he's wearing a match in his mouth.
A matchstick, yeah.
A matchstick in his mouth the whole time. That was inspiration for Nicholas Winding Refn's movie Drive, mm-hmm. where Ryan Gosling has the toothpick in his mouth. Mm-hmm. Refn is a huge, and Gosling are both huge fans of this movie. That's why they had him have that. By the way, if anyone should remake this movie, it's Nicholas Winding Refn. I would love it because he would make it violent as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That needs to happen.
Also, the matchstick, like I said, I remember the first time I watched this, I'm like, that's going to matter later. And it is. It's a huge Chekhov's gun that pays off later in the film. So. Yeah.
Absolutely. So he goes home. He turns on, television, and there is a Toys R Us commercial with, those giraffes in it, which is kind of funny because I know the person that they're named after, incidentally. Like, it's a very famous family, and I know the son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know Jerry?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey?
Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a G.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does he cut his pizza with scissors?
I don't know. Anybody know?
I've done it.
What?
Yeah.
Do you keep your pizza, you keep your leftover pizza in the freezer?
No. But I mean, I don't have one of those circular like knife things that.
Yeah.
And then like doing like this, it just didn't make sense. So you have like the shears that come with your knife set.
Just I mean, they're strong enough.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I make ribs every week. So if I can cut ribs or the cartilage or the gristle or stuff with ribs, why can't I do that with pizza and make it a straight line?
Now, hold on. See, because you're using way too much reasonable logic here. He's not cutting the pizza like out of a larger pizza, cutting the slice. He just took one slice and just cut the tip off to eat that, which is weird.
That's called portion control, sir.
Well, you are a very healthy eating guy.
That's what he's doing. In the 80s, they were on the whole portion control kick. You know, it wasn't gluten like it is now. Right. It was try to eat less of what you want to eat. That's what Weight Watchers was.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
So like if they were thinking, well, if we're eating too much as far as too big of portions and that's what's making us fat.
I'll have this just a sliver.
But I'm still American. Because you know, I'm still Italian.
Right. So I have to
eat pizza. Fucking shit.
Yeah, I mean, see, it's all coming into frame now. Yeah, this movie's not so stupid, is it?
Or yeah, it is.
I mean, it is, but it's still enjoyable.
You have to look really close.
Yeah, yeah. If you just turn your brain totally off,
but wait,
it all works.
Well, what I didn't get was why his gun cleaning kit was inside of an egg crate.
In the freezer.
In the freezer, of all things. That's.
I can't answer that because he's an insane person.
Yes, that was.
Yeah.
That
was. I remember the first time I saw this. I was like, I don't own a gun, but is that where you keep?
No.
Okay. Like, I didn't think so. I didn't think that was a thing.
Room temperature.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why he was like, it has to be there. So then we cut to a scene of like, this is the first moment of like real ultra violence. Mm-hmm. And this is where I have to imagine they cut it back to get
they originally had the waitress's hands being cut off in the film, basically.
Oh, yeah. So that's kind of badass.
They had to like
that's
slash that badass. Off.
So yeah, this scene, this woman is come, like, she's a waitress and she's like coming out of her restaurant at night, which was like such an 80s genre, right? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, lonely blonde waitress, you know, just in the
blonde
middle of
anybody. Like, same thing happened at RoboCop.
The whole
shoot him in the crotch scene. Yeah.
But so she comes out, she gets in her car, and these dudes just jump out of a van with like sledgehammers and axes, and they just start fucking attacking her. And then, like Brad said, she was supposed to get her hands cut off, which would have been fucking awesome. But instead, you see the night slasher, after they break into her car, he just pulls out this knife that you could buy, like Chesapeake Knife and Tool, I suppose, and he just fucking stabs her with it. And it's a knife, it's like a cool looking knife, but the hilt has spikes on it.
Yeah.
Because in case you miss stabbing someone, you could just jab it into their face.
Stallone wanted the prop designer to make a knife that nobody would forget.
It's a knife you would not forget.
Yeah, so
it looks fucking badass. Like it does. It looks like an insane person would have that. And spoiler alert, he does. So you find out that right before this scene that the night slasher has killed 16 people, this woman being number 17, and they're all through blunt, like sharp objects, rather, like knives and axes and that sort of thing. And he kills indiscriminately. He kills men, he kills women, and even sexually abused children, which I was like, that's a angle we didn't necessarily need to take in this movie, but okay. Weird. Thanks. That's strange and makes me feel uncomfortable. So then Stallone and his partner are like, they go back into the shooting range inside the police station where Stallone proceeds to shoot three times directly into the target perfectly while holding his arm. And he's like, we just have to wait until he kills again. I was like, or you could do some investigating. Like,
it's not really. He wants to investigate, but they won't let him.
They won't let him
because he's on the zombie squad.
Yes.
But see, the thing is, like, I didn't know that was his partner. I just thought that was his hype man. Like, because at the very beginning,
yo, you're doing awesome, son.
Right. There was nothing to indicate that he was anything other than his bitch boy. You know, like, just
yeah. No, he didn't really do anything
until I heard, oh, he's a sergeant. Okay, so and then Cobrietti is a lieutenant.
How? No, there's no way he passed
that. Yeah, all that
can
luck.
Can you imagine Cobretti is like a beat cop when he first joined the police? I cannot.
No.
It's like, you need to wear the uniform. I'm not wearing a uniform. I wear all black. All right, that's fine.
He doesn't even wear a badge. Like, I don't recall ever
he's
seeing a badge.
Not a
never
cop.
Flashed it.
Never... He's not a cop. He killed a cop named Marion Cobretti years ago and assumed his identity. That is what I believe, and I believe that is a fact. Then the murder, death, kill group, they kill another person by just rolling up. They do the bump thing where they, like, bump your car, you stop. Oh, it's an accident. And they were like, ah, surprise, murder. But this time there's a woman who comes up and she's like, oh, sorry I hit you. And it was like, are you one of the women from Glow? Because you kind of look like it.
It's the hair.
Yeah. If that woman was in Glow, if you told me that, I'd believe it. But she's working with the Night Slasher gang, and they just pop up and they just fucking just murder her.
She's like an acolyte.
Yeah, she kind of is. But she's like, she's weird because she has moments where she looks totally normal and then super crazy. So they kill her, and driving by is this woman, Ingrid, played by Bridget Nielsen.
Hollywood's poster child for nepotism.
No kidding. She was like, my boyfriend said I can be in this movie. So she's driving along and she comes up upon the scene of them, dragging the dead body of this murdered girl, like onto a bench for some fucking random reason. And what's the dude who's the villain? What's his name?
His actual name is Brian Thompson.
Brian Thompson. Yes. This is his first role, by the way. Like, his first significant role.
Oh, it's like, that's Shao Kahn.
It is Shao Kahn. Move. Is there a guy who looks more like a fucking villain than this guy?
Yeah. Willem Dafoe.
Willem
Dafoe has the crazy face.
Yeah, like this guy has such sharp cheekbones. Like, he looks terrifying in this movie. When she drives by and he's just like, I was like, yo, hit that guy with your car. Like, just like, look, even if that guy's innocent, he did something eventually. Like it's fine. Like, it's okay. That guy does not need to be on Earth.
They almost didn't cast him in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Oh, because, please tell me there's somebody good.
No, because they thought he was too nice, that he couldn't be mean enough.
What the fuck? Yes. Did you see his face? Well, look, I gotta tell you, man, I think he is the best actor in this movie. I do. And that's not saying a lot. I loved him in this role because he seems like a fucking crazy person. Like, when he's just like,
he also doesn't say a
lot. Pig, I'm like,
he doesn't have a ton of dialogue until he doesn't need it.
Yeah. He's an intimidating, he's a big fucking dude. Like, he's an intimidating guy.
When he was like sharpening that knife, I was like, damn, I didn't know he was jacked.
He's a big fucking guy in this movie, dude.
Yeah.
He reminds me, and I don't know this guy's name, I have to look it up. Do you guys ever see, and this will probably be a future episode, do you guys ever see that Van Damme movie Death Warrant?
Mm-hmm.
The bad guy in that?
Okay. Yeah, I can see that a little
bit. With like that weird hair, like a weird, like shortish long hair who got kicked into a fucking furnace at the end. You ever seen that movie?
No, I haven't. But
movie is fucked up.
But the way this guy died.
Spoiler alert, don't.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, and it was funny because I couldn't remember if he came back or not, but then I remember that was like, oh, that was Death Warrant where that guy came back, and it was like, that guy shouldn't have come back because that guy would have been made of like whatever superheroes are made of.
Teflon Don.
Yeah, no kidding. And so she sees, Bridget Nielsen sees them, and she sees the Night Slasher. She sees his face, and she doesn't know what they're doing. He just seemed crazy, right? He's just standing in the middle of the street, just fucking. Arr. And so she drives by, and he gets her license plate, right? That will become relevant later. And then we get a music montage of like robots. Like weird robots. It didn't make any sense. Like,
this interlude is just bizarre.
Odd. Intercut with scenes of Cobra driving around.
Shaking out prostitutes.
LA, yeah.
And so, by the way, he's been given the green light. Him and his partner have been given the green light to go shake down all the psychos in the city to try to find this guy. And so, yeah, it's intercut with, like, prostitutes and transgender prostitutes. Like, it's a weird 80s hellscape of, I guess they're in LA or Miami.
It is LA. Yeah, it's LA.
But then, like, intercut with, like, Bridget Nielsen actually kind of looking pretty hot, doing this like photo shoot, looking very much like she did in Rocky IV, incidentally.
At first. Then she like does a lot of costume changes and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like a wig change. Yeah. Like, her hair shouldn't be longer outside of the... I was like, all right, like, this, that doesn't make any sense, but it's fine. So you find out she's doing this photo shoot with these robots, which is why they keep showing these robots. It made no sense. And then so she's leaving this photo shoot, and her and her producer, whatever, are walking out to the parking garage, and in classic 80s fashion, the Night Slasher gang shows up and they just fucking try to murder them. However, I would just like to point out that the manager is trying to fuck her the whole time.
In such a nice, polite way.
He's like, I'd be crazy not to try to bang you. But I'm doing it for you. Like, I don't want to, but I have to do it.
And you gotta think
for
about
your career.
Yeah, think about your career. Like, it's just going to be that easier for you.
Like,
that guy, the guy that plays her, like, manager is like a film and TV that guy. I don't know the actor's name, but he's always like a dickhead and everything.
Yes.
That he's in. Like, he's an army asshole.
He has been a character actor fucking forever. But this one, like, he couldn't be more blatant. I was like, but shouldn't you be a little bit slicker about it? He's like, no, I have to. I don't want to sleep with you. I have to do it to help you.
This reminds me.
I'm sorry.
The entire conversation was like, man, this really is the 80s, because I was thinking about American Psycho, Christian Bale. Mm. Like in the '80s was like the decade of excess, right?
Yep.
Whereas if you had just a little bit of it, you had to have all of it, you know? Yep. And like, you just can't have just a little bit of pussy. You need to have all of
all it. All of it. I need to sleep with all of the models. Yeah.
Oddly enough, I wonder if Sylvester Stallone got the drawback from an actual real life conversation he had with Brigitte Nielsen in this scene. I don't want to sleep with you, but I have to. I'd be stupid not to want to, but it's for you. It's for your career.
Yo, life there's no way art. That conversation didn't happen. There's no way it didn't happen. You know he did. He was like, yo, rip from the headlines. Like, yeah, yo, he said it. You know he did. Holy shit, dude. That makes that. Oh, that makes that so bad. Well, Sylvester Stallone is a dirtbag, guys.
You can only write so much that at least come from your imagination.
Right. Yeah, he was like, you know what? I did say that. Or if he didn't say it to Virginia, I was like, he has definitely said that to some other woman in Hollywood. Definitely. And you know what? It probably worked. And they're like, okay. You are Sylvester Stallone. He's like, I am. It's true. So they're in the parking garage. And again, this is another moment of like crazy ultra violence. Like these guys just show up and they've got axes and they just start murdering people. And a cop is there, like a security guard. He's got like a 38 special. I'm like, you're going to die. And Brian Thompson is there and he's in the van with other people. He's like, kill her. And they just drive a minivan directly into a guy into an elevator. Murdered him. It was awesome. God, I wish this movie was rated X. I really want to see the fucking hard cut of this.
I mean, it actually, believe it or not, it finished halfway decently in the movie theater that year.
Oh, yeah?
Which I can't believe, despite the...
It made $160 million worldwide in 1986. Off of a $33 million budget?
Yeah, Stallone.
It's not bad, dude. Yeah. This is at the height of... I mean, it's really at the height of his career. And it is. It's such a B-movie. Like, it really is. So Brigitte Nielsen luckily escapes the Night Thrasher in his army, although they just murdered like three people. Yeah, whatever. It's fine. No one seems to be particularly all that concerned about it. She ends up in the hospital where she meets Cobra and Cobra's partner, and she delivers one of the most important lines, I think, which is, you guys don't look like cops. Yeah, no, they don't. Don't trust them. They are probably also murderers. And Sylvester Stallone says, I think, three words in this scene. He's just like, wood guy. Like, that's it. That's all he says. Because she's like, oh, I saw a guy the other night. He kind of scared me. And he's like, wood guy. That's it. There's an entire series of dialogue before that. He never says anything.
I do like how, and I don't really care. I can't remember the character's name or the actor's name. So we'll just call him Poppy. As Jay reminded me, Poppy from Seinfeld. I do like how he's trying to comfort her. You know, she's like, you guys don't look. I was just like, yeah. He's like, you're right. He doesn't. Yeah, but he's good. He's a cool guy. Like relax. That's fine. He's like, worried for you. So. That was nice.
Yeah. Look, Poppy is the nicest guy in this movie. However, he also says at some point, I'd like to punch a hole in someone's chest, which I was like,
to which Cobra responds, you're too violent.
You're too violent. I was like, in 10 minutes, you're going to kill 75 people in an orange orchard. What the fuck are you talking about? But I mean, it's what, you know,
they were the aggressors though.
I mean, he had to kill them.
Yes.
Look, I didn't want to. For your career, I had to murder you. So they find out later, like, all right, so clearly this guy who scared you is... Look at this guy's face. Look at Brian Thompson's face. This guy looks like he murdered seven people before he started acting. I'm going out on a limb here. Brian Thompson is an actual serial killer who became an actor. Check for bodies under his house. I'm serious. Sorry, Brian. Sorry. You look like an insane person because you do. This dude is a fucking beast.
What else has he been in?
He has... Well, so Shao Kahn was probably his biggest claim to fame, believe it or not.
Oh, my God. That might be the saddest thing I've ever heard.
He was in a lot of, like in looking at his IMDb, he was in a lot of, like, B-minus action movies in the 80s and early 90s, basically.
He was in Terminator.
The first one?
Yep.
Really?
He was a street punk.
Oh, okay.
He was in Three Amigos.
He was in Joe Dirt. There we go.
Wow, I don't remember.
Joe Dirt's actually the number one listing on his IMDb.
He was in Dragonheart.
I've never seen that
movie. That movie is not good.
Dragonheart with Sean Connery?
It's the one with, like, talking dragons or some shit. Yeah.
Sean Connery?
Yes.
Sean Connery.
Yeah. Yes, he was in Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
He's like a character actor. He's been in some things. Never never he's got enough to make a movie
in 2014 called, and I quote, The Extendables, which was a parody film which had Brian Thompson and a bunch of other like losers.
It was directed by him.
Kevin Sorbo.
It was directed by Brian Thompson.
You know what? That's amazing. I will allow it. But yeah, that's really Cobra, Three Amigos, Fright Night Part 2, also Alien Nation. Wow. Yeah, actually, I do remember him from Alien Nation. Yeah, no, that dude is intense, man. He's got an intense face. And so the female cop who's been working with Cobra is actually the woman who's in the Night Slasher gang. And she gets this woman's information because she has her license plate now.
How, if you're in a murder cult and you're a police officer, does that, do you not drop any hints?
Easy.
That nobody would suspect this?
Because
she's diabolic.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you got your nightlife and you got your daylife.
Yeah, she's like, guys, I'm knocking out early. I got a lot of murder death cult work to do tonight. Yeah.
I got some accounting to do for my nonprofit.
I love how Cobra's the only person that's wise that there's like an inside source in the police department probably that's in this gang. And everyone's like, fuck that. And then he's like, three people know about the details of this case. Me, Poppy, and this other chick. I can't figure out who the mole is.
Nah.
It's very difficult.
Cobra, you're being crazy. We need a task force. So she gives the information about who this woman is, and they find out she's in the hospital after escaping the murder death cult. And so crazy Brian Thompson is like, I'm going to go to the hospital. And he dyes his hair black with what I can only assume is motor oil. He just like puts it in and just uses a comb. I was like, you know what? That's kind of badass. Like that's fair. You look like a lunatic. And so he goes to the Los Angeles Central Hospital to murder Ingrid. And Sylvester Stallone and his partner, they go their separate ways. They're like, Poppy, you hang out at the hospital. I'm gonna go home and work on
this case. I'll see if I can find anything in my elaborate files at home that I have.
I was like, how does this guy afford a computer? Get out of here. It's 1986. Fuck you. Not on a policeman's salary. So he goes home and he calls Poppy at one point. He's like, hey, man. Like, but.
No,
like,
Poppy called him.
Poppy calls him. That's right. And he calls him and he's like, hey, so I'm at the station.
He's like, I'm at your office. Like, you told me.
Yeah. And he's like, you're supposed to be at the hospital. He's like, huh? And he's like, get back to the hospital. Clearly someone has lied to him and told him to come back to the office.
Which was never shown.
Right.
It was probably the lady cop. That's what I'm saying. Like how would you
know? No one put two and two together?
But there's that, but I'm saying they never showed that. So the plot hole. I was like, how do we get here?
Unless the lady cop like told another cop to tell another cop to tell another cop, and it was like telephone.
Seems very elaborate.
Yes. Yeah. I was imagining she was just like, hey, Poppy, go home. And he was like, okay. I'd be like, that woman's in the cult. It's like, she looks crazy. So then Brian Thompson decides he's going to show up at the hospital, and he proceeds to murder a janitor. Now, what I had a problem with in this scene, which is not much, he kills the janitor by stabbing him in the chest. And then he takes his clothes.
And the uniform's not, doesn't have any blood on it.
No, not a hole in the uniform, nothing. He puts it on. He then puts on his glasses, because if he puts on glasses, much like Superman, you can't tell it's Brian Thompson, who's a giant 6'5" murder machine. And he kills like a small Asian man, but somehow they wear the same suit. Whatever, it's fine. He goes and gets, he pretends to be a janitor. He goes to whatever floor that Ingrid's on. Now, he gets in an elevator, and to me, I found the scene hilarious, because he gets on the elevator and this black nurse gets on and she's like,
talking shit.
She's like, you're breaking the protocol, because janitors are clearly not supposed to use the same elevators as patients, right? Makes sense, right? Like, you guys rile around in filth, right? Like, obviously. And she's like talking shit to this guy and like talking down to him, and he just like, he has his knife behind him. He's like, I want to fucking kill this old black woman so bad. And I was like, you know what? I get it. Like, I'm glad she didn't die. I'm glad, you know, black grandma didn't die, but like, no, you should have gotten stabbed the fuck up. Like, you don't have to talk to that guy like that. That was fucked up. And luckily, and also, elevators have cameras. Like, you just gonna murder that woman in there? He was like, oh, I need to kill someone. It's been 10 minutes. So he doesn't kill her, luckily for her, and she leaves, and so he gets out on a different floor. And then all hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes in to kill Ingrid, and, like, she... Like,
oh, well, the best part is he goes to kill her. So he goes into her room and he thinks she's in the bed. Before he stabs the bed, he's like, pretty hair. And stabs the bed. What the fuck is that?
Like,
yeah. Crazy person.
He's like, I'm going to jerk off to that hair later. Like, that. So yeah, he then proceeds to try to murder her.
She was in the bathroom, fortunately.
Yes, luckily for her. Now, by the way, at the same time that Cobretti gets off the phone with Poppy, telling Poppy to rush back to the hospital. Meanwhile, Cobretti is leaving his apartment to go back to the hospital. He is attacked by the Night Slasher gang that are at his house because somehow they know where he lives.
Yeah, weird. I wonder who could have told them that.
Yeah.
Maybe his partner.
crazy. And so he fights them off. He just beats the shit out of them, throws one guy off the roof or whatever. That guy dies instantly. Another guy runs down the stairs. Cobretti stops perfectly, fucking dead eye aim, nails this guy three times in the chest with a gun. I was like, that's fine. That guy dies. And he just, again, he has murdered two people, doesn't bother calling the police, just goes off to the hospital.
He's got to get to the hospital.
He has to. By the way, Sylvester Stallone is the worst runner I've ever seen. He is awful.
It's a good thing there's a lot of driving in this film then.
Yeah. I was like, yo, that is, why are you flailing that much? It was weird.
She did a Naruto run. Save the energy.
For drafting.
Knowing Stallone, I bet you that was a conscious character decision on his part.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that. He was like, my character has to run this way. Why? I don't know. Because of his love for fresh fruits and vegetables? I don't know.
But honestly, the width of his shoulders compared to his the width of his waist is ridiculous.
Yeah, this is right after Rocky IV. He was a fucking monster in those movies where his abs were out 7 inches away from his stomach. It's like, you're abnormal. Very, very abnormal. So then this scene is actually pretty cool because the Night Slasher is going after Ingrid and he's chasing her through the hospital. She's on a floor apparently that has no people.
Well, not yet.
Not yet. Weird. They don't hear anything. But he's going to kill her. They do the Shining kind of thing where he stabs through the door and it's from her perspective. And then they do an overhead shot, which is kind of cool, where his arm with the knife is through the door and she's in this tiny space. This actually is shot pretty well for as dumb as this fucking movie.
I don't know. I see the logistics of it, of him trying to, he was shoulder rushing the damn door, but the door closed on his side. So he's closing it even more. He's not opening it up.
Oh, shit. Jesus Christ.
So I'm what is he doing? Point. He's working against himself here.
He's I can't get in the room. But pull.
And I was the door.
He was just weakening the integrity of the door so the knife could go through it. Because I don't see how a knife could have stabbed a hospital bathroom door.
He was using the Shao Kahn shoulder rush.
That's
okay.
Right.
There we go.
He was prepping for a future role that you know you would have in 12 years.
Future roll. Okay, sure, if that's what you want to call it, that's fine. So on the floor where there's no one and no one can hear her screaming, she literally then hits the emergency button and then arguably
the floodgates open up.
Arguably 150 people on this floor. I'm like, where were you 3 seconds ago when she was like, help anyone?
Common
and they're like,
sense.
I'm sleeping.
Common sense. Was like, I was wondering, I'm like,
I also like how on the floor there's one nurse and one security guard there for the entire floor because nobody else can hear her scream. No one else is at the nurse's station. This is no hospital I've ever seen before.
No, there is no movie.
Easily the most threadbare hospital I've ever seen.
Yeah. They got their doctors. They got their funding cut because of Obamacare. They had their funding cut and they can't afford to have any doctors or nurses on staff. So, of course, he can't murder her then, so he just bails, right? And he's like, I'm out of here.
You know what? I'm disappointed in him. I would have expected him to murder everybody.
Right. He's like,
hallway.
Okay, there's 100 people. I have to clearly kill all of them, and then I'll get to her. I mean, it's a big task, but I'm up to it. So then he gets back to... Go ahead.
Why are they digging in his shit if they came to his house,
because that smug liberal asshole is not approving of the fact that he kills everybody when he fights them all the time.
That bothered my soul. Like, you're coming at me, and they came at me. I fought them off. I got this little thing to make sure that I'm okay from not having a concussion or whatnot. And you're digging in my shit about how I tried to save someone?
That's a very conservative mindset.
Lieutenant John T. Cuckold is very upset with Cobra right now.
He's like, why didn't you help them? Like, ugh, the liberals in this movie are the worst. Jesus Christ.
You don't care if she lives or dies. You just want to kill this guy. Like, that's literally like what this guy is saying to him.
And it's kind of like, yeah.
And then Stallone is so enraged that he literally like grabs the guy and... shoves him over a table.
Listen, you cuck.
And has to be held back.
But the funny thing is, their logic makes no sense. Because the sergeant or the chief of police is like, they're standing there as Monty, the liberal cuck cop, says like, oh, you just want to use her for bait. And they're like, yeah, Stallone, you're the worst. And then he's like, I'm going to take her upstate away from all this. Then the police chief is like, yeah, he could take her upstate and then move all the psychos along to follow her. I'm like, you just said what you said he shouldn't do.
I love Art LaFleur's character in this film because he literally yells at Cobra until the very end where he's like, yeah, you should do that thing that you want to do. But I'm going to yell at you first about it.
I disagree.
You got a sketch of the victim or you got a sketch of the killer and you're not sharing it? What's going on here? Yeah, take her to the safe house. That's fine.
The only thing the only trope that this movie did not have, honestly, is a yelling
loud black.
Yeah, he's a yelling black sergeant. He had to have. God, like what a missed opportunity.
Frank McRae was not too busy to do this movie, I have to imagine, in the mid-80s.
No, not at all. God damn it, Cobra, what are you doing? So they're like, all right, cool, let's take her upstate. It's Cobra, Poppy, evil night slasher, acolyte cop lady. And so Cobra is driving Ingrid in his sweet ass car, and the other two cops are falling behind in their shitty cop car. And I have never seen a movie that the villains and the heroes are in a car chase where the hero
is chasing them.
I was like, but you have the person they're trying to murder. Drive away from them. Right. He's like,
you're going to kill her. Right? You're going to solve their problem.
You literally are engaging in a high-speed dangerous chase with your witness sitting beside you that you're in charge of protecting.
He's like, nah, fuck that. They got to die.
The best defense is a good offense in Cobra's mind.
Cobra was amazing. I was like, what?
Cobra's
one
mind,
plus one does not equal two.
Cobra's mind is tactics are nice. But violence rules the day.
Yeah. by the way, not only is this car fucking awesome, right? I don't know what kind of car this is.
He's got NOS in it.
It's got NOS in it, and he's got the fucking racing seatbelts, like not just the ones across. He's got the four connected. Like, you better strap in. This shit is about to get real. I was like, yo, everyone's gonna die in this scene.
Like, he's got everything. He's got everything he needs except for like bulletproof glass or whatever to take on whomever.
And automatic guns that come out of it.
He's a Punisher.
He kind of is a Punisher.
Yeah. You know what?
He's the Punisher.
If this...
Who hurt him?
Yeah, dude. Who killed all of his family at one point? Someone did.
The Night Slasher, clearly.
Yes. I need a side story that the Night Slasher is actually the murderer of his wife and child at some point.
It probably got cut out. That's probably what got cut out of the film.
And then you know what? He put him on the hook for it.
I mean, whether he was guilty or not. But the funny thing is, that's why he went from lighthearted beat cop to a murdering psychopath.
There you go. I cannot.
There you go.
Again, this movie all comes into light if you create your own story around it.
Again, I still cannot get over the fact that as he's driving, there's the bad guy car in front of him and there's a bad guy pickup truck behind him. He literally pulls his emergency brake to spin his car one and starts driving backwards, fires at the pickup truck with the submachine gun, which explodes upon being hit with just a few rounds from the SMG.
But here's the thing. Of course it does. Like, I mean, if we're being honest, of course it does.
And again, not only does it explode, but it doesn't even explode correctly because the back end of the car comes up.
Like, what? Like, what, did it go over a tripwire or some shit?
I love this movie.
And the truck bed is gone by the time the car flips. Yeah, like, the truck bed doesn't exist. All you see is the chassis.
Yeah,
and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, like the seat is bonkers. Yeah, they're shooting him with a submachine gun. He's like, hold on. He's like, hold my beer. He's like, hold on a second. Yeah, he does the 360, uses his machine gun, and yeah, he blows the hood, blows off the pickup truck, and then the back end explodes. Why?
Because Hollywood bullets.
Magic.
Hollywood bullets, man.
And I love he drives next to the car that was in front of him. He spins back around, of course, with ease, by the way, with ease. At like 85 miles an hour, with ease.
Hard. Do you know how hard it is to do J-turns?
Like James Bond did that. Like, James, yeah. The same thing happens Night Another Day, but he's on ice when
right.
he does it.
Right.
Like,
makes he's on an a ice little lake. Bit of yeah. sense.
It's just to quick this aside.
This movie, not as logical as Die Another Day when it comes to driving. Okay.
Thing is, quick
this
aside.
This is where we are.
When I was in training, because I'm former Capitol and Pentagon police, they actually have us do these J-turns in practice, right?
Right.
On a track in Georgia, but they make sure that they wet the entire track.
Yeah, because, who the fuck can do that in dry land?
No, but see, the thing is, they want you to be able to control your vehicle and under all kinds of different types of conditions, right?
Right.
So they tell you, rev up as hard as you can, hit the brake, hit the e-brake, and then hit the wheel, right? Mm-hmm. And then try because they try to initiate the fishtail. And if you can successfully hook that turn, because you're going around corners or whatever, you're doing the J turn by whatever, and it's extremely hard to do on dry streets. So
it is if you're a regular person.
Oh shit!
I mean, I don't know, guys. Pretty easy to do it. Not only can you do it, but also holding a gun.
Nope.
Like,
there we go.
Because it's Grand Theft Auto the movie.
I also enjoy how the cars were flying over these like bunny hills.
Yeah. Later on,
and
I was like,
somehow the suspensions don't explode on the cars.
Yo, but where is this in LA? Look, where in LA is this? It's a fucking amusement park ride. Like, I'm like, what is going the fuck on? Like, yo,
every single time they came down from an angle, it was designed to really fuck up that car.
Yes,
because
both cars should have literally exploded after.
They would have been turned into dust. Yeah, by the time they hit the bottom,
the frame would have been bent. There'd have been no way that the car has been drivable. Shit. I mean,
we also forgot Stallone driving out of the second floor of a parking garage,
right,
landing on the street. Nothing.
Corner
wrong.
First.
Right.
Corner first.
But one of the things right before that second floor thing, which was hilarious, is he drives after somehow blowing up a pickup truck from the front. I don't know. After he does that, and he does another J-turn to be back facing the right direction, he drives up next to the guys, and the guys are like, he's crazy, you're in a murder cult, and the cop is the lunatic. I was like, also, the victim is right next to them, and he's like, whoa, dude, he's nuts. I was like, yo, this movie has gone off the fucking rails. It's great. I love it. This is my favorite new movie. This movie needs to be remade by a director like Nicholas Winding Refn so badly. I cannot express to you. Because this literally is The Punisher.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Yeah, he's just a cop. That's fine.
And there was Dolph Lundgren. That was The Punisher.
Oh, boy.
That was... we should do that one.
It's been like 25 years since I've seen that movie. It's not good.
All I remember was just like a red room and him doing monologues. And it was just being really, really
weird.
Depressing.
Yeah, that movie is that's an emo hero. It was more about him just being sad in a sewer and then like occasionally murdering a lot of people.
Oh, that should be something different. That's new. Like a bad superhero movie series, you know, between like the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movies or even the original.
Oh, just making that a universe?
Yeah, just like or just watching those movies.
The sad Punisher universe.
Or the 70s Captain America movie.
Oh Lord!
Or even,
I own it. Oh, I own it. Huh?
And then what was it? The two Spider-Man movies that were like.
Yeah, those were like weird, like Japanese movies.
Right.
Like those don't work as well. But that Captain America movie, that Fantastic Four movie, yikes!
What dude. About the Thor and Hulk?
Oh, from the TV show. Jesus. Or was that a movie?
Was that was a TV movie?
TV movie, right? Right.
Right.
Oh boy.
A Doctor Strange TV movie.
Yo,
you got it. There's some.
Yeah.
Ooh, Generation X.
Yo, that show, that TV movie was horrendous.
Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Do you wanna, I mean, yo, I'm just rattling off on these things, right? These are movies that we could do.
Look, MCU 1.0 is real sad. Like, it's real sad. Like,
precursor.
It's fucking real bad, man. So eventually, Stallone, he flips his car, and I cannot express to you that... The witness is in this car. He Again, flips yes. it through a boat.
Yes.
He staggers out.
But it still lands on its wheels. Like, it flips 360 degrees.
He damn near got them both killed. Completely unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. So then he's like, all right, I'm taking this.
And look, and they finally brought her to the police station, where she should probably have been the entire time.
What an idea.
Yeah.
And they're like, and he's like, look, take her upstate, get these psychos out of the city. And I'm like, but that was what you said not to do. That seems crazy. So he takes her upstate. And this is where you meet a lighter Marion Cobretti. You find out his first name. He's still wearing sunglasses that you cannot see his eyes, which I think is pretty cool. I'm going to get those sunglasses. I'm going to find them online.
She's so stylish throughout the entire movie.
Thank you. I was going to mention that. She's a model. You're on the run. And she's like, but hold on. Is this Fendi or not?
I need to get my beret.
Yeah, like, just right. Like, she's wearing very fashionable jeans. I was like, yo, yes, I would you're gonna die.
Wait,
like,
yeah, you're right.
Put on sweatpants and some fucking Converse and run.
I would also think that the Murder Death Cult has lookouts outside of her house if they know where she lives. So where does she get the wardrobe from? Like, she got a change of clothes.
Yeah, she's like, hold on a second, I need to pack.
Unless they went to Barney's before they decided to open up the road, you know?
Yeah, maybe they did.
Barney's.
No, I just thought it was... What's that?
I was saying, I just started watching Curb Your Enthusiasm. And Barney's is... Okay.
Which Barney's? More expensive Barney's. but, she is dressed incredibly well for a person who is going to likely die a horrible bloody accident.
She is coordinated. I mean, look at the hat with the boots and even like the gunmetal gray jacket. I'm like, man, you're
very professional. Yeah, like, she is like, look guys, if I'm gonna be in this movie,
I need to look fabulous.
Yeah, like, not fucking around. But it is just hilarious, and everyone else is just like, just grimy, just like grimy people in jeans. You know, Cobra is wearing literally the something he bought at a gas station. I don't know. And so
it came free with the fill up.
Yeah, really. They're like, here's a sweet $30 jacket that came with filling up your shitty car. So then Poppy tells Ingrid, he's like, hey, let me tell you a secret about Cobretti. And so he tells her his actual first name. And his name is Marion Cobretti, which I remember when I first saw this movie, I laughed uncontrollably. I was like, that's a girl's name.
Named after John Wayne, though.
Oh,
that's where
yeah.
the inspiration okay. for the name
that
came
makes
from.
Sense. Yeah, makes sense.
John Wayne's real first name was Marion.
Yeah. That's why he goes by John Wayne.
Yes.
And I will give Stallone credit for this one line that he wrote that I liked. He goes, yeah, I always wanted a tougher name. Like, and she's like Alice, which I thought that was pretty good. I was like, that's not bad.
There are two things about this scene. First of all, do you guys find it odd that both Coke and Pepsi are prominently placed in this film simultaneously?
Oh, that's weird. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, well, Poppy holds up a Coke and he holds it when he takes a sip in such a way that you can blazingly see the logo on the can. Like, very obviously. Also, Stallone kind of like doing this with the bobblehead.
Yeah.
A little strange.
Like, what are you doing?
No, that was his own idiosyncrasy right there. That was coming in like...
he wrote that in.
I'm being myself.
I feel like that might have happened, like, after they said cut, and someone was, like, really filming, and they were like, ah, leave it in, you fucking weird.
And of course, for some reason, because I guess you have to give the Rocky throwback, it was a Philadelphia Phillies bobblehead. Little overt.
Easter eggs. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like attention to detail.
Look again. I love this movie. It's like, it's ridiculous, But when you watch
we're unearthing all the secret treasure that this movie has to offer.
It does. cut back to the fucking crazy gang who is in what seems to be an empty pool with it's a drain pool, but it's like they're dudes in suits, like Brad was mentioning earlier. They're like 40-year-old balding. Like this white dudes in suits, and they're just like clang clang. Like,
this is their version of Fight Club.
Look, this dude's in—he's like Eddie Arcadian from fucking The Last Dragon. Like, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, arguably 4 or 5 white dudes who just work at your office who are in this gang, and they're just like, yeah, no, that's.
I think
fine.
Demetrius nailed it. This is Murder Fight Club.
Yeah. They're like,
the first rule of Murder Fight Club is you don't talk about Murder Fight Club.
Yeah. And they're like, so what did you do this weekend? Nothing.
Yeah.
But see, it's so.
If this is your first time Murder Fight Club, you must murder somebody with an axe.
Yeah. See, I don't know.
Not with a gun.
I can't help but to see the inconsistencies within the 80s, right? As far as.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But you have a murder death cult that is inclusive of women.
Just one woman, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the one.
So she's not a concubine, is she?
No, probably. Well, no, she's probably sleeping with that dude. She's probably sleeping with Brian Thompson's character.
But I
feel like she's kind of like, she kind of runs, like I get a weird feeling like she kind of runs it, and he's like the number one dude of the dudes, and she's like, go kill that person for me. Like, I feel like that's kind of their thing. Because there's a couple moments where, like, when he's just, like, sharpening a knife and fucking working out, and she's just like, yeah, you're going to kill that person. And he's just like, yeah, I'm going to. Like, I feel like she's got the kind of Svengali kind of thing.
I don't know. Like,
it's weird.
My experience with, like, 80s cults comes from that movie Dragnet, you know, with that.
Wait, the remake?
The Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd. Yeah. Come on. And like, any woman that was around that cult
was it a snake cult or something?
It was a pagan cult.
Pagans!
Yeah. I gotta tell you, I fucking love Dragnet. It's fantastic.
That's a good movie. Yeah. It's a fun movie.
It was funny. But I mean,
it was a good remake of the original show, but making it comedic. Yeah, right. No, I totally dug it. So then they were like, all right, cool. Let's all head upstate. And they're driving. They stop at a restaurant. And Poppy's having coffee. Marion is talking with Ingrid, and she's having fries. Now, his obsession with food continues as she is putting an inordinate amount of ketchup on her fries. Now, by the way, it's how I eat fries.
Yes.
Because I'm an American. And he's like, and I remember seeing this as a kid. I think I saw this movie in like 1988. I was way too young to see this movie. And I thought this line was just the funniest thing I'd ever heard. And he goes, do you need a life preserver? And she's like, what? He's like, because your fries are drowning in ketchup. I was like, that is hilarious. Watching it now, I was like, that's not really that funny. That's fucking weird, dude. Don't say things like that, you socially awkward fuck.
Because me and my friend were watching this, we were like, damn, does she want some fries with her ketchup? Because this is ridiculous. And even his face was, the fuck? Because she went back to doing it.
Yeah, she squeezed it. Yeah, and after their conversation,
right.
She's like, nah, fuck that.
But she's what is she? What's her nationality? She's like Swedish, right?
Bridget Nielsen is Swedish, yeah.
And don't they do?
I'm pretty sure
they do mayonnaise.
They do mayonnaise on their thing,
a
right?
Dutch thing, actually.
Yeah,
that's a byproduct of my people. So
the fucking Van Voorts.
I've had mayonnaise with fries.
Oh, so have I.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
I don't recommend it. I'm not a big fan.
I've had mayonnaise with fries. Now, are you having? You had it here?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there is a difference in the mayonnaise they use.
Okay,
mayonnaise here
is nothing but egg and oil.
Yeah,
you like, mix that shit in, and then white stuff comes out.
Yeah, theirs is like it has a slight sweeter taste to it.
Oh, okay.
It's actually not bad.
Okay.
It's not something I'd recommend from like a health perspective, like gross. But yeah, it's actually not bad. Yeah. It's actually not bad.
Also important: Cobra notices Lady Cop Crazy Cult Mole on a payphone.
Yeah, and he's like,
he's just staring.
He's like, that's kind of weird. Who are you calling?
He called him.
Yeah. And by the way, As a head or second in command of a murder call, do you really make the phone call in front of everyone? Like, hey, hold on, guys. They're over here.
Right.
I'm like,
and what difference would it make if she made a call from a payphone as opposed to her hotel room when in the 80s you couldn't get telephone records as readily accessible as you can now?
Right. I think the only reason why she uses the payphone later is because Poppy is in the room. Like, she's sharing a room with Poppy. Like, they're in the same room. So that made sense. However, what doesn't make sense is, why does she need to call the murder cult twice?
To give them progress updates, I guess?
I guess she's like, we're in this restaurant.
There's a blonde waitress here you might want to murder. So just, that, like, just FYI while you're on, like, while you're on the road.
If you want an appetizer before you guys get to the meal, that is these cops. Yeah, I just thought that was weird. I was like, why'd you call twice? Why don't you just wait and just to your final destination and be like, hey, we're on Route 66. Come murder us. And then just like, all right, cool. So Cobra knows her on the phone. Doesn't say anything. Just gives her a fucking weird look, like, hmm. And it's weird because as the audience, we know that she's a bad guy. It's not like that's being like, being broken to us. So it's kind of strange.
Well, I guess it's to show that Cobra is suspicious. Not that he acts on that suspicion in any way, shape, or form.
At all. He's like, he acknowledges the fact that there was something just not right with that.
Yeah, just to let you know, he's not a total dummy.
Yeah. Cut to, they finally get to a motel somewhere upstate. And Bridget Nielsen is asleep. And Cobra is putting together the gun that he has from the poster that you can see below. Which, that gun is pretty fucking badass, by the way.
It's pretty insane. I don't know why you need a laser sight on a machine gun, but you know.
Right. Because the spray on that shit, there's no aiming a submachine gun
As we will learn later, that he really didn't need a laser target because he's so fucking good. He just, boom, boom.
People sliding off their bikes left and right.
Like, he is a dead shot. It's amazing.
It is as Mike and I discussed a couple episodes ago in Men of the Golden Tongues, in World's Not Enough, there's an assassin that has a laser sight on a mounted machine gun. And I'm just like, why do you have that? Like,
just fire in the area.
Like the best thing would be to have a laser floodlight so you can have the general vicinity of where the bullets will go.
Right, exactly.
Because, you know, the spray is random at best as far as where it goes.
And, like, the gun is moving. Yeah. Like, so it's not like when he uses a handgun and it's three perfectly aimed bullets. Like, no. But for some reason, he has this this laser scope on. But that gun is badass. And he looks like a badass holding it. And so she wakes up to him putting this gun together, and she's like, "Look, I'm gonna need to fuck you because
I'm doing it for you.
Yeah, like I don't want to do it.
You need to unwind.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to relax.
Like, I'm full of ketchup, and I need to have sex with you so that I can be okay. I can't get to sleep otherwise. So she fucks Sylvester Stallone. But in classic early 80s fashion." Mm-hmm. They make out, and it's implied that they
have sex. I don't know that they do have sex. Because they're both, like, fully dressed.
I think...
Right afterwards.
No, but they wake up in the same the next morning. I think it was kind of like, although he does go to the phone thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't.
I don't think they do.
I'm going to go with there is a side part of the story that Marion Cobretti is still a virgin. That's why he's so fucking angry all the time. And when they go off in the sunset at the end... He's so happy because he's like, I'm going to get laid for the first time, guys. It's going to be amazing.
But it'll be like Samson losing his hair. Like as soon as he had sex, he'll cease being cool. Cobra the Killing Machine.
And incidentally, the next movie in the Sylvester Stallone franchise should have been Copland when he's like a bitch. Right? Like, that's right after he loses his hair, so to speak. He's just like, well, I'm a cop, guys. What's happening? And it's like, everyone hates you. They treat you like dog shit. Poor Sylvester Stallone. Shouldn't have had sex.
Well, no, what happens after this is Cobra becomes the cop from Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. Like, his mom is still alive, and then he's just, like, this well-to-do cop.
Yeah. But he gets bitched by his mom.
Or he becomes, or he becomes his character from Tango and Cash. One of the two.
He does. That's it. Where Sylvester Stallone plays a nerd.
Yeah.
I love that. That's it. Look, that's a future episode. Yeah. Like, that man, guy with that giant chin.
He used to be a murder cop. Well, I had sex finally, and so I don't have to be the murder cop anymore. I'll be a bookworm.
Yeah. Now I'm going to tell you how to, you know, like, do accounting. Like, ugh. Gross. Now I work for Internal Affairs. Oh, you're the worst. Give the gun to Kurt Russell. So then they wake up the next day post non-coitus, And they're like, hey, where's fucking Lady Night Thrasher cop? And they're like, she's gone. And then she shows up. She shows up and she's just like, kill those guys over there. And they're like, hey, I think that lady's corrupt. Like, oh, you don't say. And they rush back.
Guys, I put it together.
Wait a minute. She's telling those people where to come to kill us. What's also funny is they show this motorcycle Night Thrasher gang coming into town. And it is like a Western. Like, they come riding into town, and people are, like, grabbing kids out of the street, like, run, they're coming. I was like, they're just on motorcycles, guys. Like, they're not, they don't have axes. Like, they're not wielding them down the road. It's weird. And everyone's, like, running. The sheriff runs.
I'm actually, you know what? I'm actually disappointed now that they weren't just riding it on motorcycles with the axes.
Clang, 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 clang. In fucking three-piece suits, cutting the heads off of innocent people in San Remus, California, wherever the fuck that is. So they ride into town, with non-clanging, outfits, and, there's literally a woman who grabs her child and runs to a church, which is hilarious. The sheriff comes out, someone immediately comes in, and they push him back into his office. They're like, get out of here, sheriff. Fuck out of here.
So, like, they take over the town.
They just take over. And they get to the motel, and they just start fucking firing. Now, at this point, Stallone has taken off his jacket. He's got a number of rounds for his badass submachine gun that he will use momentarily. He dead-eye shoots 5 to 10 people, like, as they come up. He's just like, boom, one shot, kills, boom. Poppy is also very good. Stallone just murdering people. He kills a guy in front of a fucking manger, which is hilarious. Then he pulls out the fucking machine gun, and he hits a guy who's on the roof. Tack, tack, tack. Fucking nails that guy. It was awesome. He puts his shades back on because, like, his future is so bright.
That's the way you can see, yeah.
Yeah, his future is incredibly bright.
Maybe he has, like a reticle in his shades that's what makes him so aim so accurately. So that we don't know about. That's why he wears them all the time.
Like a heads-up display of the 80s.
Oh, no. Okay. Because I was going to say, like, do you think that it's kind of like his Sam Fisher, like, three eyes thing?
Yeah, I believe that. Okay. I believe
when he's in action mode, it matters, but then I see the glasses are off right now.
Yeah, they fell off, which is unfortunate for him. From just a style perspective. Then a guy comes. This guy was maybe the dumbest villain. He comes in on his dirt bike through the front door and then slams it through. And then he's like, oh, stumbling to get up. And he eventually gets his gun. And Stallone puts like 3 bullets into him immediately. I was like, why didn't you like ride the bike and then jump off before it hit the door so you wouldn't get tripped up?
But, that required too much thinking.
Yeah, and he was just like, clang, 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 clang. Let's just fucking go. They make it outside. Poppy gets shot twice. At some point, they fucking throw Molotov cocktails into this fucking building. Poppy makes it out. He gets shot. And you're like, oh, no, Poppy's going to die. I hope he washes his hands first. And
interesting that Poppy also does the thing that normally you only see villains do, where when they get shot, they do the jumping spin and then land on the ground.
Absolutely. And then they just like, there's just murder, 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 murder. Eventually, Bridget Nielsen's character drives a pickup truck, where Stallone jumps into the bed of the pickup truck, and he is just driving down the road, standing up, killing people.
This is a fucking video game level. Like this whole end sequence is literally like, you could see like what Stallone's doing in the back of the truck, like in an Uncharted game. Like that would be something that would absolutely happen. Is your character in the back of a truck, and the motorcycle guys are coming up alongside the truck.
Yes.
And then one of them gets in the truck, and you have to throw the truck. Like, all of this stuff happens.
Yeah, no, scene. I mean, like, nothing you said is incorrect.
Yeah.
It's 100% accurate to the scene. Guys, it's really hard to stand up in a speeding truck and shoot a gun accurately, by the way. Then they make it to
I beg to differ, because Pierce Brosnan can blind fire landmines in a hovercraft.
From behind him. That's true. That's true. Because, I mean, is this America's James Bond? I would argue
quite possibly.
Then they make it into a beautiful orange orchard that is lovely.
Situated directly next to a steel melting plant for some reason.
Is it? Because I feel like this factory just makes fiery hooks. That's all it makes. It makes fiery hooks, rape, and murder. That's it. And monologues. And so as they're in this orange orchard, he's just killing people. They're just like riding up on motorcycles. Stallone has grenades. By the way, the power of grenades has a variable level in this movie. Sometimes they blow up a lot. Sometimes it's just like right next to you, and you're totally fine.
Yeah,
it's amazing. They make it to the factory that's featured in RoboCop, I assume. And because it's the 80s, because I couldn't remember. I knew that it ended in a factory because it's the 80s.
Of course it does.
And of course it does.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I forgot for a second. And I was like, wait, are they going to really have this fight in like a beautifully, highly well-lit orange orchard? And I was like, and then they're running and the factory shows up. I was like, oh, there it is. Yeah, it's dark again. Of course. Because they need the sparks, right? Like where the T-1000 comes back together. Like, yeah, it's all the same factory. This factory gets a lot of use in the 80s, guys. Like a lot. So then they're in the factory. Lady Psycho is chasing them. There's a guy with a sniper rifle of sorts who's chasing them. There's Brian Thompson with his fucking crazy face. He's also chasing them. And it's Stallone and Ingrid in the factory. There's sparks. There's murder and death everywhere. It's very scary. There's a T-1000 there. Sarah Connor. I don't know. They're all there. And everybody's got shotguns and shit. And Stallone proceeds. There's a guy walking through an area that's got like these flame things that are ready to go off. Stallone proceeds to just turn it on and light a criminal on fire to their death. And it was awesome. He also, at one point, hides a grenade in an area. These two guys come to that area. He puts the fucking scope on, and Deadeye shoots a grenade, and it blows up, killing the two of them, which was also very cool. Why didn't you just gun them down? You have a machine gun. I didn't understand why he had to use a grenade.
Because style points.
Yeah, I
GTA.
Mean, I feel like maybe you get like 1,000 XP if right. you hit them with a grenade versus
wait, I'm sorry, no. Like 200? Let's think about this logically. He's probably running low on ammunition.
That's amusing, but go ahead.
let's try it. Like, he's probably running low on ammunition, and he had to start conserving it.
All right, that's fair.
So
I'll accept that.
All right. I don't know when he ever did an ammo check or reload.
No, this isn't John Wick.
Yeah.
Reloading is for pussies. Like, that's not what real men do.
I saw him reload once, and that was when he was in the back of the truck. That's the only time I saw him reload in this movie.
While he was standing, or was he laying down at that point?
Standing.
See, that's ridiculous.
Standing.
Where would he keep the spare ammo? His jeans are painted onto his leg.
No, he had
a belt on.
Yeah, yeah.
Which made him look very cool, I guess. Yeah, so he kills those guys. He lights the dude on fire, which was really fucked up.
His Highlander coat.
I hope he gets the quickening after all of this. He deserves it.
He does.
We see like crazy cult lady. She's there with a shotgun. He lights another dude on fire. The guy with the sniper rifle. He uses the match that he'd been carrying around in his mouth. He's just like, fuck.
With a bizarre one-liner to finish him off. So, like, the dude somehow gets drenched in fuel. And Stallone's one-liner, as he takes this match and lights it on the handle of his gun, is, you have the right to remain silent. And then he drops the match on him, and the guy ignites in flames.
And he starts screaming.
Like,
it could have been a better line.
It could have been a way better. Well, I will discuss... I would discuss another moment that happens. I was like, you didn't need to use that word because it really kind of ruined the coolness of that moment. Yeah, so he lights that dude on fire. He shoots a lady cop crazy. But as Ingrid is escaping up a ladder, fucking Brian Thompson's waiting at the top. He's like, and he fucking grabs her. And then Stallone shoots at him, and then he runs off. Then Stallone sort of corners... crazy Brian Thompson, and we get a scene of Brian Thompson chewing up so much fucking scenery.
I have to tell you, after, because the scene's here, if you feel that Brian Thompson was unfairly robbed of the Academy Award in 1985 for Best Supporting Actor
and
in a feature film,
and I do,
write the Academy, because a grave injustice has been carried out.
Look, I mean, you joke. But I don't think that's incorrect.
No, see, I'm sorry. Like, just sometimes I confuse Brian Thompson with Adam Baldwin. You know what I'm talking about? As far as
Adam Baldwin,
Jane from Firefly. or the guy from the X-Files. I mean, he's been a pretty prominent actor lately.
I don't think I know who you're talking about.
His name is Adam Baldwin. But he's not a Baldwin.
Oh, he's like a fake one.
But you know his Baldwin. Face though.
Adam Baldwin.
Oh, what is that? He is right. Yeah, he is Adam Baldwin. I don't confuse him with Adam Baldwin, but
Okay.
If they were in the same movie, they would be like, okay, that's Ken.
Yeah, that guy's a dick, by the way. Like, apparently in real life, he's a fucking asshole.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's funny, though. You know?
He is funny. He was very funny on Firefly.
On what?
On Firefly, he was.
Oh, yeah. You know, so I'm saying, like, I see that guy, and I'm like,
He doesn't have the cheekbone. Like, did he get, like, fat removed from his face that it made it more carved out? Because the drawing that they do of him early on is one of the worst police sketches slash one of the best police sketches I've ever seen. It's a guy with a psycho face with hard, lines. Dark lines under his cheekbones. I was like...
And then the lines are going down his cheeks?
Yeah, I was like...
I was like, that was straight up 80s, bro.
I was like, this is weirdly accurate. Also, this is... a terrible drawing, but that is what his face looks like, so that's fucked up.
He looked like a character from Mask.
Yes,
he did. He looked like a character from Mask.
So, we have the scene of Brian Thompson chewing up excellent scenery. So, we have that scene, so we're going to play it right now.
Let's bleed, pig! Where are you, pig? I want your eyes, pig! I want them! You wanna go to hell? Huh? Huh, pig? You wanna go to hell with me? Doesn't matter, does it? We are the hunters. We kill the weak, so the strong survive. You can't stop the new world! Your filthy society will never get rid of people like us! It's breeding them! We are the future!
No! You're history.
You won't do it, pig. You won't shoot. Murder is against the law. You have to take me in. If you can. Even I have rights, don't I? Pig. Take me in. They'll say I'm insane. Won't they? The court is civilized, isn't it? Pig.
But I'm not. This is where the law stops. And I start. Suck him.
This was such a perfect, ridiculous 80s scene. Why did you say sucker at the end? It makes no sense. It's not you. It was weird.
It's not you.
But
I'm willing to believe that Brian Thompson ad-libbed his entire speech.
I am also willing to believe that. Look, I'm not going to lie. I love that scene. It's ridiculous. But he literally... If you took out the word pig and replaced that with cuck, it would work. It would work. Like, and also, he does this thing where they, and actually I thought this was a pretty good thing, where he says the judges are...
The courts are civilized.
The courts are civilized. Isn't that right? Pig. And they have a side shot of his head, and it's completely shadow except for the front. And when he says it, like water or like spit, it's like spurts out. I was like, you know what? That's actually not bad. Like,
right, because it's not like civilized at all.
No, I mean, like, yo, he's got to die. Like, look, I believe in the justice system. Put a bullet in that guy's head or do something worse, which we'll find out in a second. And, you know, so Stallone immediately is like, yeah, you know, like, fuck that. I'm going to fucking murder you. And then, of course, fucking lady murder cop comes out and jumps on his back. Which I was like, that kind of took the scene down a bit where I thought they should have just fought right then. It shouldn't have been that. But he wrestles her, and then fucking Brian Thompson goes to shoot a shotgun and he, like, moves the lady cop right in the way, and she gets fucking murdered. Good. Fuck you, lady. And then they battle.
This is an interesting fight scene because the entire scene has Stallone as everything else is going on in the choreography, he's holding the knife from being stabbed in him, basically. So, like, one arm from both guys is incapacitated at all times in this fight scene while they're still punching each other and fucking wrestling around with each other.
You know, honestly, this reminded me of both the fight scene from Demolition Man and Judge Dredd when he was fighting Armand Desante. Like, it just,
yeah, that's about right.
It's like, you know, the way that Stallone goes about it is like, we got to get in a circle. We got to do this, the shift to the right, left. Yeah. And then, like, he's bringing everything Rocky to it. I'm like, come on, man.
Was there a film before this that did the knife, like, right in front of the eye cliche that happens all the time now?
I don't know. I mean, the thing about this movie, and, you know, critics were right that it's full of genre tropes. But the funny thing is, which they wouldn't have realized at the time, is this created
more genre tropes.
Like, there are so many moments in this movie I'm like, that's been done in other movies after this. That's been done. I mean, the Judge Dredd thing where he's on the microphone, he's like, Mama's not the law, I'm the law. That's a direct copy of this. It's a direct copy.
I mean, there was no way they could have seen that coming, though, because it was the origin of those tropes. Yeah, those moments were not.
It's just ironic that they're like, this uses too many tropes, and it's like, hold my beer for the next 25 years of movies. I just created a bunch of them. So, like, as much as this movie is ridiculous, it helped to create some pretty notable things in other movies. Then, as they're fighting, Stallone takes Brian Thompson, lifts him up, and puts him on a giant hook via his back. Ugh. Ow. Ow.
And, like, he's hollering like it hurts. Like, he's
not like, yeah, it feels good, pig. No, he sounds holy shit, dude, ow.
Yeah, he sounds like a stuck pig.
Yeah, ironically. And because...
You just did that to me, Tris. I love how his screaming is even in character. It's not like, oh, it's like this, like, guttural thing.
I can't believe they put me in this movie. So, because, of course, the hook wasn't enough to just, like, bleed him out. No. He has to be moved slowly, fucking Saw movie style, into a furnace that is designed to burn people up, I assume, at a factory, because I don't know what else they use it for.
It's man-sized.
It is man-sized. Like, there is a man-sized opening in that furnace.
It's like, it could have just been a perfect human cutout, just like this. Like, ah, fuck it. The gingerbread man cutout. And it's got flames around it, and he just goes and it's lit on fire. And that's how he dies. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And so he dies. Stallone and Ingrid make it out. They get outside. They find that Poppy's okay. He wants gummy bears because he likes a little too much sugar. And that's an important point. By the way, we didn't mention Sylvester Stallone offering people an apple earlier, telling them that they should eat some raisins or prunes, something natural, fish and rice. You know, it's all about the food. So then they get outside, and the sergeant and cuck cop.
This end scene, all of it's weird because, you know, Art LaFleur comes up. He's like, great job. You did it. I knew you always would, even though I yelled at you earlier. What can I do for you? And he's like, you can replace my car. It's not in the budget. Sorry,
dude. Sorry, bro.
That's why we use police cars.
Yeah, exactly. Those are covered by insurance. I don't know what the fuck you're going to do with that. We don't have NOS budget. Sorry.
And then like I said, John T. Cuckold, you know, he's like, no hard feelings. I know I was giving you a hard time earlier. You killed everybody. I might not have killed everyone, but
because I'm a good person.
But you know, no hard feelings. He sticks out his hand.
Yeah, and then Stallone's like, yeah, no hard feelings, and he proceeds to shake the guy's hand and then just fucking
sucker punch
the shit out of him, and he's like, head back to Whole Foods, bitch. And then Stallone is like, he's like chewing a rare steak, I guess, or whatever, and he walks away. And
I like how no other police officer that's in the area reacts to this at all.
They're like, because they know his ass. They're like, yeah, fuck him. Yeah. He deserved it because he's a liberal fuck.
A liberal cuck.
Liberal cuck. Yeah.
They were like, yeah, that guy. It was like, and the cuckling has begun.
The cuckling.
So please.
That's his quickening.
He fucking punched the shit out of him, and then the sergeant is like, hey, Cobretti, I'll give you a ride back. Cobretti's like, nah, son, it's good. I'm just going to proceed to do Grand Theft Auto, and I'm going to take this motorcycle of a dead man, and I'm going to
taking evidence.
Yeah, I'll drive it back into town. Don't worry. And him and Bridget Nielsen drive off into the sunset to some very, very lighthearted,
but totally Stallone appropriate.
Yes.
Yes.
Everything's going to work out all right. I was like, again, a lot of people have died in this movie. Now, there is a website. I meant to look this up.
The death count?
Yeah.
It's not as high as you might initially think.
Do you know what it is?
It's like 52. And 41 were done by him.
Okay.
But done by Cobra.
I don't know. I guess about 55 to 60.
It is bizarre how he's the only one killing anybody during the last fight scene.
Well. Listen, my question is, what happened to the crew? What happened to the rest of the cult?
Like, did he killed them all.
Did they come back from vacation, or was the accountants like just
no
those people who were left?
No, they brought literally everyone to the party.
Yes, and they were all murdered.
They were all murdered.
All murdered,
Arya style.
I feel like as a cult, they really should have tried to branch out to other cities to kind of get things up. But they were all in L.A. and they all hung out in that drained pool, and they were like, "Let's all go." And it was like, all right, well, that's it. That's it.
Cult's over.
Cult's over, guys. Stallone into the cult. Look, guys, I love this movie. I love it. It's stupid as shit, but I love it. Have we changed your mind at all in watching this as silly as it is?
I guess I need to have people around me that make it fun, because I was sitting there like, man, it's kind of whack, you know? But it was only whack because of my 2017 standards.
That's the problem. You have to throw all standards.
I know.
The next movie we're doing, you have to throw all standards out of the window for science or like how things work or CGI or anything. But like, that's the whole point of these movies, is that they are not good movies. None of them are. They are great movies for their time and place. And that's where you just go, yeah, all right. That's fine.
And this movie's over in like a millisecond.
It's an hour and a half. It is a tight 90 minutes.
Yeah, it didn't feel long at all.
Yeah, that's what I told you. I was like, dude, it's an easy watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I watched it. I've seen it. I have watched this movie. Jesus Christ, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. I've watched this movie 3 times in the last, like, month. 2 times to get ready for this. But, yeah, I've literally watched this movie 3 times, and I never feel like I'm just like, that was easy.
Like, I feel the same way about this movie as I do watching Showdown Little Tokyo. Like, the movie's over in 5 seconds. It's ridiculous, but it's also hilarious because there's lots of shit that you can laugh at.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's fun. Like, it's if you got, Kill an Afternoon, it's on TV.
Right.
There you go.
It's fun to watch.
If you want to see this movie, obviously you could rent it or something like that. But if you have HBO, it's on HBO right now.
Right.
So check that out, HBO On Demand or HBO Now or Go or whatever. That is it for us for No Time to Bleed this week. We will be back next week with another episode of No Time to Bleed.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.